Welcome to our service for All Saints Day. Our speaker today will be Martin Gray. Martin is with us, offering himself for consideration for ordination. I asked him to choose any saint to preach about, and he's chosen St. Augustine of Hippo, that great influential figure of the early church, whose teachings are still relevant for us today. Our musicians today are Sam and Mike Bainham. They actually recorded today's hymns on All Saints Day 2020. An awful lot has happened since then. I've lost count of the Prime Ministers. But anyway, we begin with "For All the Saints Who From Their Labours Rest." And so to our time of confession. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, in what we have done and what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A Collect for All Saints Day. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those inexpressible joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Daniel. Darlleniad o Lyfr Daniel. Yn y flwyddyn gyntaf I Belsasar, brenin Babylon, cafodd Daniel freuddwyd a gweledigaethau trawdd yn gorwedd ar ei wely. Ysgrifennodd Daniel y freuddwyd a dyma sylwedd yr hanes a adroddodd. Yn fy ngweledigaethau, yn y nos gwelais bedwar gwynt y nefoedd yn corddi'r môr mawr, a phedwar bwystfil anferth yn codi o'r môr, pob un yn wahanol i'w gilydd. Yr oeddwn I, Daniel, wedi fy nghynyrfu'n fawr, a brawychwyd fi gan fy ngweledigaethau. Eithim at un o'r rhai oedd yn sefyll yn ymyl a gofynnais iddo beth oedd ystyr hyn I gyd. A tebodd yntau a rhoi dehongliad o'r cyfan I mi. Pedwar brenin yn codi o'r ddeiar yw'r pedwar bwystfil, ond bydd saint y goruchaf yn derbyn y frenhineth ac yn ei meddiannu'n oes oesoedd. Dyma air yr arglwydd. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give you thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace that taught my heart to fear. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun,
may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I have been asked by Matthew to produce a sermon on my favourite saint. Upon reflection, I would suggest that is Saint Augustine of Hippo. Well, many years ago in 1997, I was part of a congregation at St. David's and St. Cavellach's in Swansea. The church dates back to the 6th century, and I often found affinity to this period of Christianity in attending that place of worship. So I remember one day listening to a sermon by the Reverend Lionel Hopkins, and it was on the lines of a just war. The just war being a questioning of a Christian's morality standing on going into conflict. Obviously, this had links to Augustine of Hippo. Augustine of Hippo was born in 354 in Algeria, in the western part of the Roman Empire. He was born to a family of Berbers. Berbers are the indigenous inhabitants of the North African littoral, isolated from the rest of Africa by the Sahara Desert. Periods of control of this area would fluctuate from Carthage to Rome, and they were interspersed with the establishment of a Berger kingdom. Although they were heavily Romanized, his upbringing to the age of 17 would have been influenced by a Roman education, although probably of a limited standard. It was around this time that he moved to Milan to a flourishing new academy of learning. Rome at the time was controlled by Theodosius and was officially to adopt Christianity as the official religion of the empire. So Augustine of Hippo, with his prowess for learning and slight revolutionary trait, became influenced by Christian teachings. Augustine converted to Christianity. As Augustine later told it, his conversion was prompted by hearing a child's voice say, "Take up and read." He opened a book of St. Paul's writings at random and read Romans 13:13-14. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. He later wrote an account of his conversion in his Confessions, which has since become a classic of Christian theology and a key text in the history of autobiography. This work is an outpouring of thanksgiving and penitence, although it is written as an account of his life. The Confessions also talks about nature of the time, casuality, free will, and other important philosophical topics. The following is taken from that work. "Lately I have loved thee, O beauty so ancient and so new, lately I have loved thee. For see, you are within, and I was without, and I sought you out there, unlovely. I rushed heedlessly among the lovely things that you have made. You were with me, but I was not with you. These things kept me far from you, even though they were not at all unless they were in you. You have called and cried aloud, and I have forced open my deafness. You have gleamed and shined, and have chased away my blindness. You have breathed fragrant odours, and I drew in my breath. And now I pant for you. I tasted, and now I hunger and thirst. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. So Augustine of Hippo is now a member of God's kingdom. Now comes what first brought his being to my knowledge. As a child, I would watch classic films on TV. Mostly, these would be on a Sunday evening. I remember films like Spartacus and Ben-Hur. But the overriding aspect that stood out in one film was Christians being thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. They had an interpretation of being a Christian that was quite literal, and I wondered why. Well, what they thought was to imitate Christ himself with selfless sacrifice in peace. So not having a Bible and a canon was not important to them. What they did was work on word of mouth and imitation of Christ. As I got older, my readings would take me to books on the First and Second World Wars, and indeed the Christian question of why Christians take up arms. So, when I sat in the congregation that day listening to Lionel Hopkins' sermon, God gave me an author to reflect this inquiry on, and that was St. Augustine of Hippo, who had had the same question mulling around his head. Augustine asserted Christians should be pacifists as a personal philosophical stance. However, peacefulness in the face of grave wrong that could only be stopped by violence would be a sin. Defence of oneself and others could be a necessity, especially when authorised by a legitimate authority. In essence, the pursuit of peace must include the option of fighting for its long-term preservation. Now come the other links which would bear heavily on my Christian journey. Augustine of Hippo had a big influence on Martin Luther. Augustine has a direct link to the Protestantism and the Anglican Church. I speak of Martin Luther with the highest regard. Here was an Augustine friar who would stand against the might of the Catholic Church and completely change the known world at the time. Luther was generally a good monk, being faithful to his order, but then came the bombshell. The then Pope wanted to raise funds for the Sistine Chapel, so he put an order out stating that faithful Christians could spend less time in purgatory if they paid more duty to the church in Rome, and the church would pray for their souls. The match was lit. Luther produced the 95 theses and nailed them to the church door at Wittenberg in Saxony. This was classed as heresy, and Luther was excommunicated from the Catholic Church. So what do the 95 theses really speak of? That the Bible is the central religious authority and that humans may reach salvation only by their faith and not by their deeds. This is central to our Protestantism. God's word says that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and not by our own efforts or works. After Luther, the Augustine link continues in our Anglican movement. Enter John Wesley. Scholars have repeatedly recognized John Wesley's debt to Martin Luther, but have stated it in generalities. What specifically did Luther contribute to Wesley's doctrine of justification over the course of his career? The doctrine of justification is an account of how God removes the guilt of the sinner and receives him or her back to communion with God. The essential question concerns how the tension between human sin and divine righteousness is resolved. Luther's contribution to Wesley's doctrine of justification from 1738 to the 1780s was very important. Through the decade, Wesley continued to recognize his debt to Luther, despite differences concerning John Wesley, the man who was born to an Anglican vicar and himself died an Anglican vicar, was a huge influence on taking faith to the masses and working against the institution of church, which at the time had backlashed from the effects of the Civil War and Puritanism. This man gave birth to the Methodist movement, but also still has great influence on the church in Wales and what we call low church. He believed that Christ should work in our daily lives and scripture should influence the whole being, not just on Sundays when we attend church. Wesley was influenced heavily by his mother, Susanna Wesley, who was the daughter of a Puritan minister. Susanna was the wife of John's father, also John Wesley, who was a vicar on circuit. Whilst away, Susanna would hold great Christian fellowship meetings in the kitchen of the vicarage, which would be attended by hundreds, with people inside and out. She was influenced by the Puritan movement, which again is fascinating, although that will be left for another sermon. What was prevalent was the Spirit was said to move with vigour through these meetings, and this is what would inspire John Wesley on his later missions. I believe losing the Methodist movement from the Anglican Church was a great loss. Myself, I could never become a Methodist, but I do feel great affinity to their cause. So to sum up, why is Augustine my favourite saint? Well, he stated a revolution. He started a revolutionary trait that would run through me, standing here right now. He influenced Luther and Wesley, and was devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his works would keep the church grounded. Many years later, taking us away from the two great occasions of idolatrous ways and focusing on Scripture and the Word of God. What has become really important in through this trait is the passage from Romans, verse 12, chapter 2. Do not conform to a pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Be upright in the name of Christ and find him in the simple things. Amen.
There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fail or fall. Till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul. Jesus pleadeth for thee.
There is no heart like the heart of Jesus, filled with a tender love. No throb, no throe that our hearts can know, but he feels it above. Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul, Jesus pleadeth for thee. Oh, let us hark to the voice of Jesus, oh, may we never till safe we rest on his loving breast in the dear heavenly home. Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul, Jesus pleadeth for thee.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad, ahonait yn y nefaidd, sancteddio dy enw. Dele dy dernas gwnele dy wychlis, megis yn y nef echli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein bar y benyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddewn ni'n ein dyledwyr. Ac yna'ch arwain ni brofed i gaeth, eithr y gwared ni rhag drwg. Can ni sedd o ti o'r deithnas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. We pray first today for the Church of Christ. Lord, we hear your voice saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" If it be your will, let each of us respond, "Here I am, send me." Help us to take up joyfully whatever mission or task you may entrust to us. Help us to know that though the task be daunting, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, shall run and not be weary, shall walk and not be faint. Lord, show us how to remain close to you, breathing in harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now for God's world. Lord, your Spirit is around us in the air we breathe. Your glory touches us in the light we see, the fruitfulness of the earth and our joy in its creatures. You have written for us your revelation, as you have granted us our daily bread. Teach us how to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest all that you make known to us. Lord, show us how to remain close to you, breathing in harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then our local community. Lord, guide us that we may become more sensitive to the needs of all those amongst whom we live. May we be aware of the need of the reserved for human contact, the need of the noisy for affirmation, the need of the young to know that what they have to say is valued by the community as a whole, the need of the old to know that they are not seen as useless, the need of us all to know that we are valued. Lord, show us how to remain close to you, breathing in harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Those who are suffering. Lord, when destructive powers rise up and seem to bar our path, when they threaten to sweep all before them like a fire in the forest, when the river of life turns into a raging torrent, in all the dangers of the pilgrim way, we thank you that you are our constant companion. Strengthen us and those we care for to face the perils of the storm when they threaten to overwhelm us, and show them again your all-encompassing love is the strongest force in the universe. Lord, show us how to remain close to you, breathing in harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, the communion of saints. Lord, we thank you for the multitude of quiet and gracious souls whose presence has purified and sanctified for the world, those whom we knew and loved, those who have passed from this earthly fellowship into the fuller light of life with you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again unto our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.